You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Gordon Brown, Kevin O'Malley and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Pontefract and Wolverhampton on Tuesday afternoon, Brighton and Uttoxeter in the evening. We've also got an evening card over in Ireland as well from Roscommon, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Very good, thank you, Mark. All good, yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Good.
Good week coming up, haven't we? We've got the July meeting coming up at Newmarket.
Yeah.
Busy Saturday as well with Ascot,
yes,
and York on at the same time. It's
a busy Friday as well. There's four afternoon meetings on Friday. Obviously, York, Ascot, Newmarket and Musselburgh as well, I think. So it's equally as busy on Friday. So we've got a busy few days coming up. And yeah, it is. It is, yeah. Ascot, Musselburgh, Newmarket and where's the other track? York.
Yeah.
On Friday afternoon. So, very, very busy, and it's the same on Saturday too.
Yeah, so if you like your flat racing, then you've got plenty of it to go at this week, which is good news.
Decent flat racing as well.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah.
Quality to go with a quantity.
Exactly, which is the best kind of racing.
Yeah, when it's it quality. Doesn't happen very often, but yeah, agreed.
Yeah, we're going to look at the Monday jury to start with on this podcast, and then we're going to move on to some of Tuesday's racing. Bit of news before we do, Gary, breaking news before we record this, that Kieran Fallon has retired.
Yeah, obviously 16 British Classics, 30-odd Royal Ascot winner. I think it might have been actually 30 exactly. Jockey's titles in Ireland and in the UK. Obviously his fair share of problems. Obviously that's one of the reasons why he's obviously quit the saddle as well. But obviously a jockey you always wanted to have on your side, and you were cursing him as often as you were praising him as well, because you were often watching races, watching the horse that you selected, thinking, oh, I've got that beat, and Fallon's on the favourite, that looks beat. And he was just never an easy jockey to read in terms of how his horse was actually going. You often thought he was beat, but he was actually travelling a lot better. But as I say, off the track, I think he's had his fair share of problems. And obviously, as I say, that's the main reason really for him quitting the saddle, at least for the time being anyway.
Yeah, yeah, it's rather sad circumstances that he's quitting due to depression that he's suffering, but he can look back on a pretty remarkable career, really. Good stuff, six-time champion jockey, plenty of big wins.
Yeah.
And, yeah, all the best to Kieran Fallon in the future.
Exactly, as I say, there was the fair share of controversy with it, but I think probably the best story that you can say is one day before the big High Court case, he rode the winner of the Arc, so, I think that's probably the best way to sort of sum him up, really, I think.
Let's move on to the Monday jury then. First question of this week's Monday jury is about Eclipse winner Hawk Bill. Which autumn target would you aim towards with Hawk Bill?
I'd forget the autumn. I'd be looking to next spring. And there's surely only one race for this horse, and that's the Dubai World Cup. He's the son of Kitten's Joy. He was entered in the Breeders' Cup Futurity last year, but because the track was muddy, he didn't end up running. I think he's the ideal candidate for the Dubai World Cup, and surely that's where he'll go. Looking to this year, I suppose the Judmont is the next step. He's an improving horse. I'll say I don't think it was the strongest Group 1 I've ever seen run, but either way, you can't really fault him. And he will stay further, so they might be thinking maybe the Arc as well, because he's improving rapidly. But for me, then the next stop is probably York and the Judmont.
Yeah, I would have thought similar as well, particularly after the race when they mentioned that they were going to keep him at a mile and a quarter for the time being. But there is one or two suggestions as we record this that they may be considering a tilt at the King George and stepping him up in trip.
Yeah, I noticed that on the front page of the paper today. Interesting.
It's only 3 weeks away as well.
Yeah, that would be a bit of a concern. It's an interesting option for them. It'll cost them a fair few quid. He's not entered in the Irish Champion Stakes, I see, either. I don't know. I mean, he's had a few quick runs now. You know, he only ran at Royal Alaska, and obviously that was just a Group 3. But I was impressed with how he battled. And like I say, I think he looks tailor-made for the World Cup next year.
Mm-hmm. Second question then. Could you see the Gurkha turning the tables on Galileo Gold in the Sussex?
I'm going to go no. Simply because he's had a lot of quick races now, the Gurkha, in quick succession as well, where Galileo Gold's been a little bit more sparingly, or the gap, there's been a more of a gap between each run, if you see what I mean,
yeah,
for him. Whereas the Gurkha's had three fairly quickish runs now. If he hadn't have run in the Eclipse, I probably would have said yes to that. But as he has, I just think Galileo Gold, it will play more to his strengths, perhaps, than the Gurkha, who they obviously already tried over a mile and a quarter. He's got the speed to go back down to 1 mile, but I think a mile is the perfect trip for Galileo Gold.
Yeah. A mile at Goodwood as well suits him. He's won at Goodwood before, hasn't he? He won the Vintage Stakes at Goodwood last year, so the undulations of the track pit will hold no fears for him. I'd struggle to see him reversing form at the moment.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they bet on that, but I'll still stick with Galileo Gold of the two.
Yeah. What sort of chance does Sundown sprint winner Brando have in the Nunthorpe?
Well, he's improving, but I think he'll struggle when he goes into Group 1 company. I know sometimes they say there's not a great deal of difference between some of those lower Group 3 and Group 2 sprints and, you know, the top-class handicaps as well as the Group 1 sprints, but I think he'll be struggling personally. I mean, Lady Aurelia, whether she goes for that race or not, we'll soon see. But he clearly handles a bit of cut in the ground. Whether there's cut at York at that stage of the season remains to be seen. I should imagine the Abbey is probably the perfect race for him, really. Considering that he definitely handles cut, that would be my sort of long-term plan with him. But obviously, you know, these sprinters, they can run a little bit more often than the horses who run over longer distances. So, He has a chance, but for me, I think he just falls a little bit short of top class on, if it's quick ground anyway.
Okay. Who's your fancy for the July Cup on Saturday? We've got betting on site as well for the July Cup. Twilight Sun, the 9-2 favourite. Magical Memory, 5-1 with Quiet Reflection. 6-1 Limato, Profitable, 6-1 as well. Don't Touch is 12-1 with Home of the Brave, and 14s or bigger for the rest.
Wide open this, isn't it?
Mm.
Obviously, he was very taken with Quiet Reflection victory in the Commonwealth Cup. Profitable, obviously, and Twilight Sun, the other Royal Ascot winners, too. A lot will depend on what happens to the ground between now and then. But even with the Candy team not in the best of form still, that was the case when Twilight Sun won at Royal Ascot. And for me, depending on what happens with the ground, I think he'll probably win again. He's always been a horse that I've particularly liked. So, yeah, it'd be Twilight Sun for me. But I say we'll keep an eye on what the weather does. But I think the weather's supposed to be sort of fairly settled, I think, isn't it? So it will be drying out quite a bit, and it dries out quite quickly at Newmarket anyway. At the moment, it is described as good. So it's going to be fairly quickish ground, I would imagine. So Twilight Sun for me.
Twilight Sun then for Gary there. Give us a tip for the John Smith's Cup or Bunbury Cup or both if you're feeling brave.
Let's look at the Bunbury Cup first. A lot could really depend on the draw. These 7 furlongs I often find are a little bit of a nightmare, truth be told. I think the 3-year-old's interesting for Godolphin. Steady pace. He's actually the highest rated in the lineup, but obviously he gets a bit of weight, age for weight. So he's quite interesting. Whether he'll handle the burly nature of this type of race, though, remains to be seen. I would maybe take a chance with the Marco Botti trained Golden Steps, who was third last time out, but has got form in big fields. He won the Constellation Stewards' Cup, I think, last year from memory. He'll stay this far, and he might still just have a little bit of improvement to come as well. So that's the Bunbury Cup. I think those are the two to concentrate on at this stage, for me anyway, the Steady Pace and Golden Steps. And with the John Smith's Cup, that's got a bit more of an open look to it, and the draw definitely plays a crucial part to this race. Obviously, last year's winner, Master Carpenter, is likely to go. Milman Yard, obviously, in good form. Third time lucky, he's a regular in these type of events. He won the Cambridgeshire, obviously, last year. Midchar, wonder what David O'Mara's done with him. He could be very well handicapped. Obviously, he used to be in the Achmed Almaktoum Silks. Obviously, he's been jumping, but be interesting to see what David O'Mara's done with him. But I think I'd probably go with the Hugo Palmer on a Spanish squeeze. A bit disappointing last time out, beaten favourite. Didn't really have the runner thrings all the way through. I'd take a chance on Spanish squeeze. Hugo Palmer's got a good record in these type of events, and good kind of the record in these type of events at York. Obviously, short squeeze winning a similar sort of race at the Ebor meeting a couple of years ago.
Feeling brave then, Gary, talking us through both races there. Yeah. And do you hope that Saturday's Newmarket Ascot York clash can be avoided in 2017?
Don't really bother me. I honestly don't care. I suppose it's a bit annoying when all these races do go off on one day, but a lot will depend. I mean, Lee Modisedge wrote about it in the Post today, bigging it up as Super Saturday, and it'll be interesting to see what happens, whether ITV put it on the main channel or not. But you know, it's three decent cards, or four decent cards really, isn't it?
With
York, Newmarket, Ascot, and Chester as well, of course. So it's a good day's race, and it does give some of the jockeys that don't perhaps have their big moment to shine in the limelight a bit of a more of an opportunity, doesn't it, as well? We saw it last year and in the years gone by as well. So I can understand the frustration from many of the horsemen, particularly trainers, but I think it's good for jockeys, and for me it's probably good for the game as well. In terms of overall betting turnover, perhaps it probably isn't, but that's not really the be-all and end-all for me, and I think it's a decent day's racing, and I think it's just something that we should be enjoying and embracing a bit more, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. I don't mind them being on at the same time. It just gets frustrating when the feature races are so close together.
Yeah,
so
if you've got that, like, may be something that needs looking at.
Just spread them further out in the day. So, yeah. So you don't want to be going from the July Cup straight to the John Smith Cup straight to
without a proper build-up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah. So there you go. Do that for 2017 if anybody of any importance is listening. should we leave that there, Gary, anyway? Should we get stuck into Tuesday's action?
Let's do it.
I think we should. Let's move on. We'll get Gary's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Not a bad Tuesday in store, really, to be fair. And we're going to start at Pontefract in their 3:10. This is the Pipalong Stakes, a filly's listed race over a mile. It's for the four-year-olds and older. And we've got a field of 13 for this year's renewal. Gary, who's caught your eye in there?
Yeah, good little race, isn't it? Quite a few interesting runners. Obviously, you don't have too many listed races sort of run this sort of time during the week, do we? So it's obviously we've got a lot coming up, actually, thinking about it with the July meeting itself. But Pontefract need to be praised a bit more for the prize money they put in. And this is a really good race. Esteemable comes into the race in good form. James Fanshawe's runner. And there's one here as well over the course and distance, which comes as a plus, including obviously just 16 days ago. Black Cherry, this is she's having her sights lowered a little bit, if you like. Was seventh at Royal Ascot last time out, and prior to that had been placed at this level a couple of times. She might just prefer a little bit of digging the ground, though. I'm going to go for the Winnie Knight trained Clotilde, who won a hat-trick of handicaps in the spring and has been beaten the last twice. But for me, there have been steps forward, I think. Actually finished in front of Mary Me when running at Windsor last time out. Again, that was in listed company. Wasn't beaten that far in finishing third. So Clotilde will be the selection. And an honourable mention for Mother's Finest, who comes into the race in good form as well, having won at Newmarket Newcastle on the Tapeter last time out. Whether that can be reproduced or not remains to be seen. But I'll go for the Willie Knight trained Clotilde in the Pipalong Stakes.
So Gary's picking the Pipalong Stakes. Then staying at Pontefract for their 3:40. This one is the King Richard III Stakes, a handicap, a Class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, 14 of them to go to post here, Gary. And some informed runners there. Final Venture comes here on the back of a hat-trick. You've got Zebedeus, who's had 2 starts and won both of them. Monarch Maid arrives in winning form as well. So another warm race at Pontefract.
Very much so. Very much so. We'll start with Final Venture, who's... comes here on the search of a 4 time, has got up £5 for the last of those successes at Hamilton, but very much has to be respected. Likewise, Johnny Cavagin, who was second last time out at Doncaster, is another one that's won here in the past. My Amigo won at Weatherby a couple of runs ago and finished third at Ripon. Last time out, and Compton Park went close in a big field at Doncaster last time out. But I'm going to have to go with the unbeaten 3-year-old, Zebedeus, who's a half-brother to Snapshots, who's a pretty decent sprinter. Won here, brand breaking his maiden tag, and then won at Haydock last time out. I still think the handicapper might have left him a little bit short against some fairly exposed runners. The handicapper knows where he is with probably one or two of these. We definitely don't know that with Zebedeus. He's got a bit more improvement in his locker for me. So he will be the selection in the competitive looking, actually, at 3:40.
Zebedeus then for Gary in the 3:40. On to the 6:40 at Brighton next. This is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a half. It's for 4-year-olds and older. A field of 8 here, Gary, in 4 of the 8. So that's half the field arrive here in winning form.
Yeah, not going to be easy to separate this. We've got quite a... Well, we've got one definite course specialist in the shape of Roy Rocket, who won here. He's won his last 2 here. One of those was an amateur rider race, and he won here last Tuesday afternoon as well. That was probably a career best. He's got a £6 penalty to carry, but there's every chance he's going to be going up more than that in the weights. That said, I think this is probably... This race has got a bit more strength in depth to it. Yankee Mail won here last time out. Likewise... alongside that victory actually came at Ripon for Yarmouth alongside, but they both come here on the back of career best efforts, albeit for me this is probably a slight step up for them. Rosa Above Goes Down in trip, daughter of Yates, good second at Goodwood prior to that rather disappointing run last time out. Every Instinct comes here off the back of a fairly lengthy layoff, making his handicap debut as well. Longano Policy is undoubtedly well treated on old form. He's gone a fair bit below the mark which he won off last time, but he hasn't really set the world alight so far this campaign. Calendula makes her seasonal return, a winner at Wolverhampton towards the back end of last year. But I'm going to go for the top weight, Nigel, who won here over 10 furlongs last time out. Obviously steps up in trip, but that shouldn't be an issue for this son of new approach. Shane Kelly takes the ride for the Richard Hughes yard, and one would imagine that hopefully he can follow up that success. He ridden slightly differently last time, a bit closer to the pace, and that certainly helped him. So I will go for Nigel in the 6:40.
Nigel, then, the selection for Gary there, and then in the 6:40, and we finish off at Uttoxeter in the 7:20. This one is a Class 4 handicap chase. It's over 2 miles. It's for 4-year-olds and older, a field of 12. We'll take their line place in the lineup here. Gary, we'll start with Strongly Suggested, who arrives here in winning form, having won at Southall last time. The winning distance there says 11 lengths, but he did benefit from Queen Spud coming down at the last. So what do you make of him to start with?
Yeah, obviously that form is it's slightly misleading, isn't it? Obviously won by 11 lengths, but he was left clear at the last, and Queen Spud would definitely have made a good race of it. Form's worked out okay. Winner's already come out of that race though, but I think for me this is a slightly better contest. Can I Call You Back for the Evan Williams team is interesting. This one finished third last time out. That run came at Force Lass over a similar trip to this, beaten not that far actually behind Relentless Dreamer and Super Scorpion. If he can build on that, He's fairly interesting. Vexillian needs to bounce back from a poor run last time out. Likewise, Blackwater King. We haven't seen Oscar Tara for a while. Owen the View was slightly disappointing last time out, but obviously that was in a fairly decent race at Aintree. Had won at Perth earlier on in the season. I want to take a chance with one here. A horse who used to be trained by Henry the Bromhead, is now with Sam Thomas. Enjoy Responsibly, who's finished fourth on his two most recent outings. He's beaten a fair old way at Ludlow on the penultimate one, the penultimate run. He was actually beaten a fair way last time out at Aintree as well. But that was in a better race than this. He's obviously taken a while to come to hand since he joined his new yard. So I'm willing to take a chance on him in what is an openish looking race, the feature race on the card at Uttoxeter tomorrow night. I don't think it's that strong a race really either. So if he can reproduce some of his old form, Enjoy Responsibly, he's undoubtedly well handicapped. So I'll take a chance on Enjoy Responsibly in that 7:20.
Taking a bit of a chance on Sam Thomas's runner there then in the 7:20. Good stuff, Gary. Let's just have a little bit of a quick summary before you go, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections then.
Yep, in the 3:10 at Pontefract, Clotilde. In the 3:40 at Pontefract, Zebedios. In the 6:40 at Brighton, Nigel. And in the 7:20, Uttoxeter, Endure Responsibly.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Gary. Good luck. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Will do.
There you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Kevin O'Malley and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. Pontefract and Wolverhampton are the afternoon meetings. It's Brighton and Uttoxeter in the evening. And we also have a card over in Ireland from Roscommon as well. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.